Hi everybody, and welcome to my podcast on cracking the code into the pharmaceutical industry. My name is Lizzie and I have recently graduated with a Master's of Neuroscience. If like me, you're looking to step out of academia and into the pharmaceutical industry, then this podcast is for you. I'll be speaking with experts in roles within the industry, science graduates who have made it, as well as specialist recruiters for their top tips. Does this sound interesting? Then just hit play and let's get into it. Hi everybody, welcome back to the podcast. Tonight I'm joined by Prax. Hi Prax, how are you going?
Hi Lizzie, I'm well, how are you?
Good, thank you. Now I'm going to throw the microphone straight to Prax and tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, I have been in Melbourne for almost 5 years, which is just intense to me now that I've say it out loud, because it feels like it's been like a whirlwind of a journey for me. But I have been in the pharma industry for 3 years, and I'm currently employed as a medical affairs associate. And yeah, and since then it's just been onwards and upwards for me.
Great. And what was your, how did your journey start? So what did you do at university?
So I came here as an international student, and I came to pursue my master's of biotechnology. Okay. And I didn't really have any preconceived notion. My only thing was I wanted to learn, because that was what I studied in like my undergrad. Yeah. And Melbourne and Australia seemed like the perfect spot for me to kind of delve into that upcoming research and development in that area.
Now, I was really excited. I am really excited to interview Prax, because she is one of the very few people who has made it into medical affairs so early on in her career. And you just said 3 years, and you've been in the role for a bit over a year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, this correct. Is quite unique. There's not many out there. Well, maybe there is, but I can't seem to find them. And we all know how tricky it is to get in to medical affairs for many reasons. So I'm very excited to be speaking with you tonight. When did you decide to get into the pharmaceutical industry?
So I think in uni, because I had 2 years of like just trying to make the most out of like my uni experience in Australia, I didn't really have any preconceived notions of like, will I be staying here or not? Like, it was just like, get that experience and then we'll see how it goes, like as the opportunity comes. So in the first year of uni, I was pretty much more focused on like what I was studying and just trying to adjust to like the new country and culture, because it was definitely like a culture reset for me, even like the way education was happening all around me, especially in my course. And biotechnology is like a constantly evolving field, so it was like always like studying a lot, all these all-nighters at uni. But I think it was mostly like the second year where I was like, you know, I need to sit back and kind of ask me that question, like, what do I envision myself doing? So I started asking a lot of questions to my university professors. Now, I didn't really have a lot of guidance in terms of, because I was the first sort of cohort that graduated from that master. So I didn't have any seniors or someone who'd kind of been through that. So I could be like, so how did you reach where you are? So it was just like me kind of so just going on this
extra,
whole journey.
An extra challenge for you and your cohort.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, so it was quite confronting, because all of my peers were from different backgrounds and different countries, which was positive in a lot of sense, because I was, you know, like learning so much and making great friends. But it was like career-wise, I was like, oh, I do feel like I would have appreciated more help from someone. But I did ask a lot of questions. That was like my get-go, because I was like, you know, if there's no one around me to set like an example, I just need to know like from my professors, because a lot of professors also have industry connections and such. And I was attending resume updating classes in uni and some sort of local networking events, but none of it was like sticking to me. So I kind of just came to a conclusion that I could either continue doing lab work and go into academia, pursue like a PhD, or like go into the industry. And at that point, I didn't know what that would envision to be. Like, what does work in an industry look like? I just knew it was working in a company. I didn't even know it was like where to start from there. But like a lot of people did tell me it has to start with, easiest way would be to start with sales.
Okay, so you got that advice as well.
Yep.
Start as a sales rep.
And I was getting advice all around me, which was also in a impacting me negatively, where I was, oh, do I need to do a PhD to kind of, you know, like, get into this?
So a bit confused.
Yeah. It was quite confusing, but I kind of just realized that I was doing a lot of lab work while I was at uni, like in my 2 years. It was like a lot of lab work and I really enjoyed it. But in my fourth semester, I got an opportunity to do like a 6 month either industry placement or a research placement. And I was like, you know, I'll just try it out, like the industry side of things. And then I'll see, you know, like, how do I find, where do I want to settle eventually? And that's how I kind of...
Sorry, how did that opportunity for the internship come up?
It was all kind of really last minute. I remember I was traveling home, like, after being 2 years in Melbourne, and we were given a list of a few companies that we could intern for and just like a little position description of what that would entail. And this also included a lot of like lab-based roles as well, but just in companies. And there was one thing that really like stuck out to me. It was like pharmacovigilance. And I was like, wait, like I've never heard of that. So I kind of really got into it and I was like, you know, that's really interesting. I've never really looked at that side of pharma, because when you're fresh into uni, you just know what pharma does on an overall basis. Oh, you like have product development, like research, and then you commercialize the product. You like, you don't know like all these tiny departments, medical information, medical affairs, and all these other things. So I was, this is the perfect way where I could just kind of jump in and just learn something new, different to lab work. And at 4 a.m. in like my home country, I gave the interview and got in. And I've ever since been in that company.
Fantastic. And tell us a bit more about this internship. Was it a really, actually, first of all, do you mind me asking, were you paid?
No. I think that's a typical internship. In the beginning, you kind of just have to use it as like a stepping stone.
Yeah, they don't all offer. And a salary. And how did you find that internship? Did you enjoy it? Did you learn a lot from it? Tell us about that experience.
I really did, because I have always been someone who was really enchanted by challenges. Even in uni, if there was this weird disease that had like this 10-year gap in knowledge that I had to write a thesis on, I want to go for that one. Pharmacovigilance looked like a really good challenge, and I had a wonderful manager, so I really learned a lot. But from the get-go, I wanted to also engage in trying to understand what it meant in the pharma industry, what it was, just because learning the daily tasks was one thing, was technical skills, but I felt like I needed to use that opportunity to kind of understand what the pharma company, what a pharma company would look like what are the different departments, mm-hmm. and what does the commercial team do, what does the regulatory team do. So I did have a lot of discussions, but unfortunately I think I only got 2 months in the office and then we had COVID.
COVID. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh,
that was great. Missed a lot of things.
So I was 3 months. I was 3 months working from home, which wasn't as bad because I was constantly having a lot of discussions like with my manager and a lot of exchange of information. Yeah, and I learned a lot. Like, I feel like it really established the initial respect for me as to like what, like how powerful. Like,
yeah. Would you recommend to graduates to go for an internship, even if it's not paid?
Oh, definitely. I know like money is like a big thing, and it was for me as well. I'm not gonna lie, as an international student, I really was also looking at that side of things. But I feel like as a fresh graduate and with like an industry that's evolving in terms of recruitment as well as opportunities, I think it's the best because you get a foot into the door, you meet so many great people, you get to know a lot more than you would if you would be sitting outside of that zone. Like even on Google, like you probably wouldn't really get to know face to face what like medical affairs people do on a daily, or like what does it look like and how do they help. So even with PV, like when I searched it up, I was like, oh, that's just adverse event reporting. But there was so much more to it, like that I could only learn when I was in that zone. So I would definitely recommend all fresh graduates to start with an internship.
Was it full time?
Yeah, it was full time. It was 6 months.
So you're actually doing work.
It was definitely work. I had these reports that I had to fill up, like, as part of, like, my uni, because it was technically a semester as well, right? So there's a lot of uni work that that went into it, but I just knew within the first month what my focus would look like, and that sort of, like, opportunity that I did not foresee when I first came to Melbourne to pursue my master's. So I would really definitely recommend for, like, anyone to start with an internship, get a hang of what is out there.
Yeah, definitely. Now, listeners, don't get me wrong. I have done many, many hours of work unpaid, over tens and thousands of hours of free work. I'm not necessarily against it, but I sort of, and Prax, tell me what you think. I sort of think nowadays there could be a bit more that could be done to make internships paid for. Now, I know your manager, Nav, who I've interviewed, and her episode's coming out next week, and I'm 100% sure that if she had more resources and a bit more support, she would have paid her her interns. And I think a lot of companies would like to, but there's just not enough financial support, which is kind of interesting coming from pharmaceutical companies who have massive, we're talking billions in revenue. So I do wonder, you know, why that is, what, and, you know, I think there's it should change. It needs to change. You can't, especially in Australia, you can't, you know, for 6 months, someone who's working full time and not pay them.
I think it's more about, I would say, it probably is about also preconceived notions, because I feel like currently just industry has evolved so much, even like the industry before and after COVID itself, the recruitment and stuff. I feel like it was much more easier for interns to be not paid, and they would just do whatever they could, get that experience and just leave. But I feel like young, fresh graduates are willing to put way more effort into it. And if that is recognized, that would be brilliant. Honestly, I think that would be the biggest change that I would really appreciate as someone who's been through like that journey, because it really does take a lot of effort when you are, especially for someone who's putting their everything into like an internship on a daily. I feel like that would be a really good advantage. And if the ever evolving industry is able to accept that, that would be honestly the most ideal thing. And that would probably also support or just kind of push a lot of fresh graduates to actually go with that sort of pathway and just go in for an internship. Because I feel like that's something that would put them off, like, because it sounds like free work, so they don't really get to the point where it is free work, but we do end up learning a lot. Because as I said, like, with education, money does go hand in hand. It's undeniable. Everyone has to, you know, keep up with the inflation.
Exactly. I mean, I know the experience and the exposure you get through an internship is invaluable and an amazing opportunity, and with that you can actually then go on and get a job. But I still think, you know, you should get a bit of
payment. I do agree
for the work.
I can support you on that.
Yeah,
but I do,
you say, you know, you're in Melbourne's so expensive with rent, unless you live out in the dodgy suburbs.
I know, like, I have moved from, like, a one-bedroom share house to where I am right now, and it still hurts every time I pay rent.
I bet.
We call it growth. But honestly, I feel positive in a way where I do see a lot of, like, LinkedIn internship programs that are, like, paid. So I feel like a change might be coming, but it might be slow. But I would definitely, if that's something that is really needed right now, paid internships.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I alluded to this. I said, you know, the experience you got from your internship was fantastic, and it led on to your next role. So tell us about, you know, how your current role as a medical affairs associate, how that came up.
So I initially, after my internship, I graduated right in the middle of COVID, right? So I did not, I think that was probably the biggest challenge throughout my professional journey, because recruitment was really slow. Like, I was lucky enough to be contacted by recruiters, but another unforeseen challenge was that I didn't have a permanent residency. And after a beautiful and wonderful conversation with a really supportive recruiter, when I went to the fact that actually I don't have permanent residency, that was a lot of times where it was like, oh, the employer is looking for someone like who, being here. And that was something that was, I think, demoralizing to me. So 6 months before I was actually contacted by a current employee again was that I was working in a warehouse. And this was right between COVID, right? So I didn't even get my, I was really, really sad about the fact that I didn't get my grand or, you know, like graduation with like the cap and the robe, and my family was joining online. And yeah, so it was challenging because not a lot of people were hiring. Everyone was looking for trained employees. And I understand, like, it was just a terrible time globally in all sectors. And I think that just added to the general sort of, you know, like, there's always disappointment when you get rejections from job interviews. But it was, I think it was double the number that time, double, like, lesser the opportunity. So I was working in a warehouse, and I had that special letter from the government that allowed me to, because I think that was like the thick of COVID where we weren't even allowed to go up to like a particular kilometer, like radius or something.
You couldn't you couldn't leave the country.
Yep, exactly. And I was interviewing through the whole thing, like through that 4 to 5 months, but I was constantly in contact with my manager, Nev. So she was like really lovely in terms of just bringing up my morale, which I really appreciate. Big shout out to her. Yeah, while on my way back from like that warehouse part-time stint, I got a call from the a lovely medical director, and she was, oh, this is an opportunity, would you like to come join us? And I didn't even hesitate. I was like, heck yes. Please. I was like, oh yeah, I'm free. Like, and honestly, like, it was a different role to PV. That was another thing that I was really grateful for, because again, it was kind of similar to my value of always trying out different things. It was medical information, and I did that for like almost a year and a half or something. And then after that, I came in to the position of like a medical affairs associate, which I'm currently employed in. Yeah, and it's been like three different roles in one company with really supportive people around me. And with skills that I've picked up, I feel really confident as to like where I stand professionally. And yeah, I think it will only help me kind of grow further in my career.
So definitely. The medical affairs director that contacted you, you'd obviously networked with her previously. Was that during your internship?
Yeah, so she is the medical director, not the medical affairs director. So she kind of just takes care of all the medical, like our entire medical team. And she was definitely someone, and like I think working in like a small and upcoming pharma was like something that I really really added to like my advantage, in a way where everyone is just accessible, in a way where I could just walk up and people are sweet and lovely and supportive. And if I would have questions about, you know, as I said previously, just interesting in knowing what their department does, I always used to just take like half an hour and just sit down with them, and everyone was really helpful in answering my questions. And I was in contact with our medical director as well at that point, so it did come as a surprise to me, because like after like a 4 or 5 month gap where I wasn't really feeling like my like best, like professionally confident, in a way, I think it was just a really lovely surprise. And I was up for the challenge, and everyone was really supportive. But I didn't really get to interact a lot, in a sense that, as I said, I was 3 months of my internship, I was like working from home. But I knew everyone was lovely at the company because I've had my time with all of them. But it was much easier for me to kind of go back and settle down and just kind of, it was rekindling old conversations and old friendships. So it really helped me.
So you proactively went out to the departments to, you know, just because you were curious, and from that a role was presented to you. That's, I think, a bit of good timing comes into play with that, but definitely, you know, you went to that effort, which for some people can be a bit daunting to knock on someone's door and, you know, wander around and see the different departments and ask them questions. But
yeah,
that was a fantastic thing that you.
Well, I think that was like the advantage of being like in a small pharma versus like a big pharma, where like it was more accessible, and I was doing and I still am like doing roles kind of just not in that umbrella term. Like I always get new projects, and like every day is exciting. I always keep adding new skills to, with my everyday task and projects, and that's something that I've really. I'm really grateful for that, like that opportunity. And
great.
Yeah, I think it's a great start.
Of course, I think so too. And I think a lot of people will envy you your current role. The skills that you had, you've built up, you know, through various different jobs that you've had in the past. Do you think that was a good sort of set you up to become a medical affairs associate? What I'm sort of trying to say is, once you were in the role, did you find, you know, you had enough of a base to do your tasks, and then the rest was just learning on the spot?
Definitely. I would feel it was mostly the soft skills that helped me, and just an idea of like what was expected of me, because I've already like discussed all of this with everyone around me, where I was just wanting to understand like how things work. But I would definitely say, because even when I was applying for like roles, regardless of this opportunity, I had to start doing part-time. And I'm from a country where we don't really have the concept of doing part-time jobs. So that gap in my like experience, I only realized in my second year, right, in uni, where I was like, oh, I do need my soft skills. Like, I don't have any experience. Like, I would just go up to an employer and I'd be like, I've done my undergrad, I've done like my master's, and here I am. So during that 1 year, I literally had 3 part-time jobs, volunteering at the library. I try to get as much experience as I can. And I think that was something that really helped me, even like with the confidence that we were talking about, like just walking up to people. Because there's a lot of weight attached to being an international student, because you have to like break stereotypes. You have to live far away from the family. And you probably have gone through like the whole thing as well, right?
When I was in France,
with the whole like missing, exactly, like it's tough. So I just knew I had to give all that I can, and I whenever like an opportunity knocked at my door, I kind of just made the most out of it. And even with this role, I think it was the soft skills, because I think it's, even when I talk to my peers who are in different roles and not just pharma, you every time you join like a new like job, you always get told what to kind of do, like the basics, right? Like you have to learn this new software, this is where you do like all the analysis and this and that. But like with your communication skills, your leadership, like just how you are in terms of like analyzing, that attention to detail, all of that is what makes you different. Like, you know how there is this constant narrative of people expecting fresh graduates to have an experience while no one's ready to offer them experience, because even like the starter roles require like a minimum 1 to 2 year experience. It is that gap where you're like, you know, it doesn't really matter if you don't have experience. You have soft skills, you're a smart learner, and I think that's what all fresh graduates from in like the 21st century are. We are hustlers, and we're just taught to do and make the best out of our situation. And not just me, like there's an entire batch of students from 2020 who got graduated in middle of a pandemic that like no one really had foreseen happening, and like all the challenges that came with it. So I think it's less of like the technical but more soft skills that I developed over the roles, and even with like my part-time jobs that I find useful on a daily. Because with skills, you can always learn them, you can always adapt. But I think that's pretty much it. I think it's more soft skills that are more useful to me on a daily than technical skills. Because I'm still a work in progress.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm sure all of us are.
We always will be.
Yeah, exactly. And it's okay. We all make mistakes. We learn. We just don't have to be hard on ourselves.
Exactly. I completely agree. What advice would you give to graduates who were trying to get into the industry?
For fresh graduates, honestly, no joke, they should probably listen to this podcast, because it's really, really relatable. Honestly, I wasn't this podcast when I was like graduating uni because
sorry,
the things that you touch on, I know, Lizzie, like I'm so disappointed. No, just kidding. You know, like the topics like LinkedIn and the whole like contacting recruitment and just all the advice about networking that you give, because even for me, like LinkedIn was not something that I really was actively using, regardless of like, I think Seek and Indeed was like what was big back then, but now they have like special buttons where it makes it easier for you to apply on LinkedIn. There's LinkedIn Learning and all of that. I think that's really useful for all sort of fresh graduates. So number one is listening to your podcast. The second one, I think this probably sounds really corny and cliche, but I think fresh graduates, if you're fresh out of uni, you need to be your biggest supporter and your biggest fan, because I think with your ever-evolving situation, be it professionally or like, you know, you end up seeing your peers doing completely something different. And even with me, like, you know, even though I love asking questions, the negative side of that was I was getting a lot of mixed opinions and reviews and experiences that people were sharing. So it was always like, oh, what if this happened to me? Like, I think it's really, really easy to fall into that wagon. So it's always best to know what you're really good at, what your strengths are, and what you can offer, like what you can put on the table. And if you do identify gaps, be it technical skills or soft skills, just work on that. Like, don't be hard on yourself. Yeah. Everything can be learned, and share with your peers all your concerns. We're all like sailing in the same boat. So that would probably be my best advice. And
that's such a good, that's the first time someone's given that advice. And I think it's so important. You, like you said, you've got to be number one fan, because a lot of people out there won't be. And if you've got, if you rely on the other people, well, I think you're going to be disappointed. At least you can fall back on yourself. So that's a great, great piece of advice. Listeners, take it on board. Okay, well, I'll leave this episode here. Thank you so much, Prax. I really loved chatting with you, and listeners, I'm sure you learned something, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. So thank you, Prax.
Oh, thanks for having me, Lizzie. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to subscribe to keep up to date with new episodes, and feel free to leave me a review. See you next time.